أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس كلوا مما في الأرض حلالا طيبا ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تزال قدم عبد يوم القيامة حتى يسأل الأربعين عن عمره فيما أفناه وعن شبابه فيما أبلاه وعن ماله من أين اكتسبه وفيما أنفقه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Respected brothers and elders, First and foremost, it is only correct, only appropriate that we start by thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after showering us with the greatest bounty of Iman, allowed us to witness another great day, the day of Friday. On this day of Friday, one of the greatest actions that a person can do after the fara'id and after the compulsory actions is sending durood and salawat and salutations upon our Nabi and our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised every person who sends one durood and one salawat and one salutation upon me a few things. Allah says that that person who sends one durood upon my Habib, I will shower him with 10 mercies. Over and above that, I will write for him 10 good deeds in his book of deeds. Over and above that, I will remove 10 bad deeds from his book of deeds. And over and above that, I will elevate his status in Jannah by 10 ranks. Let us recite 3 times durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Respected brothers and elders, as we all know, Allah has created this universe and placed you and I in it only for a trial and examination to see whether we can succeed and enter into the eternal Jannah. And in this worldly life, in this examination, for you and I to succeed, or for you and I to progress, or for you and I to pass, then there are a few conditions that you and I have to fulfill, which is imperative in our success. As we all know, if a person does not believe in the kalima la ilaha illallah, that is, he does not believe in iman, and he does not submit himself to Allah, then automatically this person has failed the test and examination of this world. A person can spend his entire life doing good actions, but if he does not couple those good actions with iman, then automatically his actions will go to vain. If a kafir has to spend his entire life in doing good actions, then when he will come on the day of Qiyamah in front of Allah, then those good actions will not help him even one bit. What I would like to speak about today is also another condition that you and I have to fulfill to ensure that our actions are accepted in the court of Allah, and over above acceptance, to ensure that our actions bring us rewards and bring us good things and elevate our status in the hereafter. Allah says in the Holy Quran, in the verse I have recited, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ كُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا. That, O people, in this world that is in this examination, from the many things you have to ensure that you carry out, one very major thing is that you ensure that you eat halal and pure food. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ كُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا. So I would like to speak about the first part today. That is eating halal. It is mentioned in the Mubarak Hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this verse was revealed unto Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at one time where Sahaba was sitting around him. And after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this verse to the Sahaba, then Sa'd ibn Waqqas radiallahu anhu stood up and asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, O Nabi of Allah, I have a request. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Sa'd, what is your request? He said, O Nabi of Allah, I ask you to ask Allah on my behalf to make me mustajabud da'wat. Now what is mustajabud da'wat? Mustajabud da'wat is that person who has the gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whenever he lifts his hands and asks Allah for anything, Allah accepts his dua immediately. So as Sa'd ibn Waqas, the Sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is asking Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for this, just after this verse was revealed, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Sa'd, أَطِبْ مَطْعَمَكَ تَكُنْ مُسْتَجَابَ الدَّعْوَةِ, that O Sa'd, you need to ensure that you only live a life of halal, and I will guarantee you that because of that, you will be able to come mustajab al-dawah. This is how serious this matter is. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continues, he says, O Sa'd, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَخْذِفُ النُّخْمَةَ الْحَرَامَ فِي جَوْفِهِ, that O Sa'd, this matter of halal and haram is so severe that if a person has to put one morsel of haram food into his stomach, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept his ibadat for the next 40 days on account of him putting one morsel of haram food into his stomach. This is how severe and how important this matter of halal and haram is. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in another hadith mentioned, I mentioned it in the beginning, that مَا تَزَالُ قَدْمَ عَبْدٍ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, explain to the Sahaba what will happen on the day of Qiyamah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the day of Qiyamah, a person's legs won't be able to even take one step until he answers four questions. The first question he will be asked is, عَنْ عُمْرِهِ فِي مَا أَفْنَى, that O insan, Allah will ask each banda, each one of us will be asked these four questions, that O my slave, I granted you 40, 50, 60, 80 years of life in this world. What did you do for that time that I have given you in this world? That's the first question. The second question Allah will ask him is, وَعَنْ شَبَابِهِ فِي مَا أَبْلَاهِ, that O my banda, O my slave, I granted you youth. In that youth, you had extra ability, you had extra power, you had extra strength. Did you use that strength in my disobedience, or did you use that strength in my obedience? And the third and fourth question that each one of us will be asked on the day of Qiyamah is, وَعَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اكْتَسَبَهُ وَفِيمَ أَنْفَقَهُ, that O my slave, in this world, you earned X amount of money. Did you earn that money via halal sources, or did you earn it via haram sources? May Allah save us, but if that person has to fail those questions there, then his way going forward in the day of Qiyamah will never be an easy one, but rather will be a very, very scary one. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in another hadith was explaining to Sahaba the seriousness of this matter, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cited the example of a traveler. Now we all know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kind that in our daily lives Allah has made certain times in which that if one of us has to raise our hands or even make dua from his heart, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made those times in which duas are more readily accepted than other times. For instance, the time at Tahajjud, during the last portion of the night, if a person has to wake up and make dua to Allah, then his dua is more readily accepted at that time in comparison to any other time in the day. Another time in which duas are more readily accepted is the time between the two khutbahs, when the imam sits down between the two khutbahs. If a person has to make dua in his heart at that time, inshallah, his duas will be readily accepted. Another time which Allah has made such is the time that you and I spend on safar and journey. If you and I have to take up any journey, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that because of the difficulty in the journey, Allah made it such that if we have to make dua during the journey, then Allah will accept our duas readily. Now regarding this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Sahaba, that Umar Sahaba, regarding halal and haram, let me explain the seriousness of the matter. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, imagine a person,
He is taking up a long journey. Maybe he is going for Umrah or Hajj. Allah knows best. But whatever journey he is taking a journey in the obedience of Allah. Umar Sahaba, in a normal circumstance, this person's du'as would be readily accepted because he is undertaking a journey, he is far away from home, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at that person with a lot of rahmah. But Umar Sahaba, if this person has one morsel of haram food in his stomach, then even in that circumstance, in the normal circumstance, where Allah will look at that person with rahmah, in his position, Allah will not even accept one dua of his. This is the seriousness of living a life of halal. Respected brothers, many a times we feel that we are lacking the drive to do a'mal. We are lacking the drive to make dua. We are lacking the drive to go to the masjid. We are feeling it hard to lift the blanket for Fajr Salah. One of the things that creates the lack of drive towards a'mal is not worrying about where we eat from and where we earn from. Living a life of halal has a direct impact on a person's spiritual self. For instance, if a person has to eat food which is not good for him, and a person has to eat unhealthy foods, then within a few hours or within a day, the person will automatically see the effects in his body. For instance, if you and I didn't eat from the morning till now, then automatically we will feel a bit weak. Why? Because our body did not get enough nutrients for our body to function in the way it should be functioning. Similarly, Allah has granted you and I a spiritual self. We have a physical body and we have a spiritual body. This spiritual body is called our ruh and our soul. If we have to eat haram, or if we have to use haram money and earn haram, automatically our spiritual self becomes weakened because of that haram. To this extent that if two parents have to worry about halal and haram, then the child which comes out of that marriage will also be an obedient child. Many a times you hear people saying, you know, the certain alim or the certain buzuk, he is born a wali. We hear this very often sometimes, that this person is a born a wali. How did he become so pious overnight? What did he do that he automatically looks like someone who is so pious? A lot of times, if not all, this is the secret. There is a story mentioned of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jailani rahmatullah alayhi. This name is so familiar that if all of us must be knowing the greatness and the caliber of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jailani, who at his time and era was one of the greatest scholars. Many people asked, what is the story behind him? How did he become so great? His name shines in the world right up till today. The story behind this buzuk, the story behind this saint goes as follows. His father was a very, very poor person, and he used to do menial jobs just to earn a living to put something into his stomach. One day he was hungry and walking along a river and thinking, where will his next meal come from? At that point, while he was walking along the river, he saw an apple flowing in the water. Being in his position, having eaten for a long time, he picked up that apple and took a bite of it. After taking a bite of that apple, being a pious person, his spiritual heart and his self told him that you took a bite of this apple. Do you even know who this apple belongs to? He narrates his own story. He says, I froze at that moment. That I knew my whole life I spent worrying about halal and haram. And now I picked up this apple, I took a bite of it, I do not know who is the owner. So he says, I started walking upstream. If the apple flowed down, that means it flew from the top. It flowed from the top. So I started walking upstream. And upon walking for a few hundred meters or a few kilometers, Allah knows best, he says, I found an apple orchard. So of course that apple must have fell from one of the trees in the apple orchard and flowed down the river. So I went to the owner of the orchard. I asked him that, you know what, my brother, I have a bit of a problem. The owner of the orchard said, yes, what is your problem? He says, you know, I'm a person who is really worried about living a life of halal and haram. And today I was walking along the river, I saw an apple, I picked it up and ate it. It looks like this apple belongs to you. Could you please forgive me? Now look at the taqwa, the piety, the consciousness of this man. A simple person who didn't even have enough to make ends meet. He asked this person, could you please forgive me for eating one apple? The owner of the orchard stopped, he pondered, he thought for a while. He said to himself, this person may be looking like a very poor person, he looks like a low person in society, but his actions and his character is telling me a different story. At that point, this person, the owner of the orchard, also at that time was looking for someone suitable for his daughter, and being a pious person, he was looking high and low for someone pious enough to match his daughter, but he could not find anyone. So taking advantage of the situation, he told this person that, you know what, I will forgive you for eating the apple on condition you marry my daughter. So this person, the father of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jailani, was prepared to do anything to be forgiven for eating that apple which wasn't his. So he acceded to the request and he ended up getting married to the owner of the orchard's daughter. And from that union, because of their piety and because of their consciousness, Allah blessed them with a son by the name of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jailani. This is the effect of halal and haram. Ulama nowadays, it has become one of the main discussions. That people are coming to ulama saying that my son is excelling in school, but for some reason he is not excelling in deen. This has become a daily problem. People are saying, if I look at my son's school results, mashallah, he's doing very well. But on the other hand, he is not managing to by heart a few surahs of the Quran. What is the solution to this? It is the same problem. Mawlana Zulfiqar Ahmed Naqshbandi a few years ago came to Durban and he narrated this incident which occurred to him. He says, a father came to me with his son and complained. He said, Mawlana, I have a problem. My son is doing very, very well at school, but in madrasa he can't even learn one ayat of the Quran. So Mawlana said, I stopped and I started pondering to myself, what answer can I give this person? Because if he is intelligent in school, why can't he learn the Quran? Mawlana said, I thought for a few moments and then I told, ask this father one question. I said, oh father, could you tell me, what are you feeding your son? The father said, no, I actually don't know. Maybe one day he's buying from this takeaway and that takeaway. So Mawlana asked him, are you sure those takeaways are halal, certified by any organization? It is halal food, or is your child eating anything? The father said to Mawlana, merchant everywhere. We do not have this consciousness of halal and haram in our house. Mawlana said, from now, watch what your child eats and tell me if it's having a difference in your... Mawlana says, a few weeks later, the father comes back and says, Mawlana, Jazakallah, now my son is conscious of what he eats and he is excelling in deen. He is excelling in the Quran. Why? Because Allah has made the Quran nur. Allah has made the Quran hidayat. Allah has made the Quran light. And Allah has made haram food darkness. Darkness and light cannot come together in any place. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in another hadith mentioned, لا يدخل الجنة جسد غذي بالحرام. So soon as the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if a person's body was nourished with haram and that person has to pass away, then Allah will make it such that that person will go to Jahannam first and then go to Jannah because his body was nourished with haram. This is how serious this matter of halal and haram is. Many a times we have this misconception that if most of our money is halal, then the little bit that is haram won't affect the maximum which is halal. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him once that, Ibn Umar, that this matter of halal and haram is so severe that if a person has to buy something for 10 rand, and out of the 10 rand, 9 rand was halal money, and 1 rand was haram money, O Ibn Umar, even that 1 rand of haram will spoil that 9 rand of haram. This is the severity of haram. When, for instance, a certain alim was saying, when you take 1 rand of haram and join it with your 10 rand or 9 rand of halal, think of it like this. You got a cup of water. That cup of water is your halal money. And now you take one drop of urine and put it into that water. Would any one of us will want to drink that water? It's a full cup of clean water. It's only one drop of urine. Will any one of us be prepared to drink that water? Never. Why? Because we know that one drop of urine went in that water. Similarly, when it comes to our earnings, we should not even accept to earn even one portion of haram. Or rather, we should give it up and earn less rather than earning haram. There's a very, very famous story narrated in Mecca about Hajjaj bin Yusuf. Many people will know the name Hajjaj bin Yusuf. Hajjaj bin Yusuf was a very, very oppressive ruler after the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was such an oppressive person that he killed thousands of Sahaba radiallahu anhum for absolutely no reason. And the ulama say that this person most probably was one of the greatest oppressors of time. So the story is narrated about him because the lesson from the story is very great. The ulama mentioned that at his time when he took over Makkah, then he was a very, very intelligent person. He knew that if he has to take over Makkah by force, then the ulama and the sahaba at that time will make dua against him, and Allah will make something bad happen to him, and that will be the end of the story. So he, before taking over Makkah, devised a plan. He said to him, he's asked his advisors around him, that you know what, I need to find a way for the entire dua, for the people of Makkah's duas not to be accepted. Because if the people of Makkah have to make dua against me, Allah will accept their duas. So what is the way to cut off acceptance from Allah and the people of Makkah? So he came up with this plan. He said that I need to feed all the people of Makkah haram food. So at that time, after taking over Makkah, he invited the entire Makkah for a meal. And after, when everyone came for the meal, he presented them with the best of food, but he used haram food and haram money to prepare for them. And after eating, he stood up and said, O people of Makkah, now you can make dua against me as long as you all want. I know that I have fed you with haram, and Allah will never ever accept the dua of a person who ate haram. I will end up with two hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Musnad, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the hadith which appears in Musnad Ahmad. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O my sahaba, وَلَأَنْ يَأْخُذَ تُرَابًا فَيَجْعَلَهُ فِي فِيهِ خَيْرٌ لَهُ مِنْ أَنْ يَجْعَلَ فِي فِيهِ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O my sahaba, if a person is even starving, it is better for him to put a handful of sand into his mouth rather than putting a morsel of haram food into his mouth. And I'll end up with one hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O my sahaba, at one point Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O my sahaba, I can tell you if you do a few things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will insha'Allah guarantee you Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if a person has to akala tayyiba, if a person has to eat halal, wholesome food, wa amina fi sunnah, and he is cognizant of the sunnah, that is, he follows the ways of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he saves, and people are saved from his evil, that is, he does not harm anyone, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to live a life of halal, to earn halal, to spend in halal avenues, and to enter Jannah. May akhi wa akhira da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. One quick announcement. We need to ensure that our cars are parked correctly. There has been a complaint from the building in this direction next door here where the garages are on the roadside. Cars are parking in front of the garages and the people are complaining. If your car is parked there, please go now and remove your car and park it properly. Park on Ambilo Road or some other road, one of these side roads. But don't block anybody. It also creates a problem for the Musalla in future, and we are, as Muslims, we are not supposed to inconvenience anyone. Jazakumullah khair. Thank you.